B-Pod Studios.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
Can we update that so that my voice isn't introing us anymore? I recorded that before I was on the show, and now it just seems really self-serving.
I love it.
Everybody pay attention to me.
Hello? You got anything over there?
Hello? Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Jamie's got a dead mic. Hello? Hello? What's going on there? Oh, no.
Check, check, check.
Which mic are you adjusting?
Three.
He should be five. He should be the last one. It's counting.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty
check,
sure.
Check, check, check.
Oh, there he is. Yeah. All right.
Radio professional.
Yeah,
can we leave all that in?
Can
that be a part of the podcast?
I'm fine with it because I'm just going to make a comment. I think it's funny. We were playing this intro. This is the first time we've ever played the intro.
Yes.
On the way in, it must be to impress these guys right here.
Yeah.
It totally is.
I am very impressed.
Very much so. My name is Chuck Bean. You are, of course, listening to Nerd Radio.
Of course, if you haven't figured it out by now, this steaming pile of garbage is our beloved podcast.
I am joined by Al Beck.
Yeah, that's me.
Who won't stop talking so that I can finish the intro.
He's quite chatty today.
And James, who...
I was the intro.
You were the intro.
Which is my problem.
Today we are joined by Halal Beefcake, the Smash Wrestling Tag Team Champions, Joel Coleman and Idris Abraham. Guys, welcome to Nerd Radio.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much.
It is fantastic to have you guys on the show. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of nerd stuff like we typically do here on Nerd Radio. And then if you're a podcast listener, you'll get to hear an exclusive interview with these guys later on. So stay tuned for that. Fellas... You hear that wind? Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. Storm a brewing.
My God. I mean, there was some rain when I came in, but is there anything more unsettling than when you feel the wind move your car a little bit to the left or right?
No. Terrifying.
Yeah. Like, that car is way heavier than I can fathom in my brain already. And then when the wind can make it kind of go off to the side, it's just like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. Fellas, how was your week?
Fine. That wasn't expecting a quiz.
What happened? You were all chatty a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, you had everything.
Well, now the show's underway. I got nothing to contribute.
Well, all right.
I had a good week. I wish I had something to report, really.
No, nothing. No. Just more MASH.
Just more MASH.
Over the weekend, Borderlands 3 was free to play on Xbox, on PlayStation, on the PC, wherever you got it. And I spent the entire weekend checking out Borderlands 3. And I thought, first of all, I think a lot of games should do this because, especially for someone like me who has issues with motion sickness.
Yeah.
Like, I can try the game out immediately.
So you know if it's going to make you sick or not.
Yeah, I don't have to spend the $60 and then be like, nope, can't play this.
Well, I think you would sell more games to me if you did that because it's $60 and I'm not much of a gamer. So there's a lot of times where I'll look at a game and go, it sounds good, but am I going to drop the $60 and then never touch it?
Right.
But if I had a weekend and then got kind of hooked, then I might buy more games.
Let's be honest. It wouldn't work for you because you would forget.
I
told you that it was coming, and I was like, I'll text you when I get home.
Well, I told you not to bother.
Yeah, don't bother. I'm going to forget. I'm not going to download that.
Well, the reason for that was I loved Borderlands, the first one. I thought it was a great game. When the second one came out, I played it for a little bit. But it was just sort of the same game again. It didn't have me hooked. So even when the pre-sequel came out, I didn't care.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
Well, this one has the graphics are obviously updated because last time they did Borderlands games, they were on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation and everything. Mm. So I don't know if that works for it, but it does look, you know, prettier than the other ones. The guns have new crazy abilities to them. Some of them you can, like, they have an alternate fire on them, so you can go from burst fire to fully auto. Some of them you can change what element they do.
Okay.
Between, you know, shock and corrosive and stuff like that. What was it? There was one in particular that really, really cracked me up. And I cannot for the life of me remember. Oh, you know the guns that you would throw like a grenade in order to reload them?
Yeah, yeah.
When you do that, they have a digital voice to them going, ow, 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 every time they bounce off the...
Funny.
Off the thing. And there's multiple planets this time around.
Okay.
You're not just on the main planet of Pandora. Like, each particular area you go to, you get on your big ship and go to a new planet to do stuff. It's fun. It's, if you're a Borderlands fan, it's got everything you've been looking for.
Well, I'm sure it sounds, I mean, it does, it sounds great. Honestly, if I was more of a gamer, I would have been all about it. and I would have been playing that demo over the weekend. Were you a Borderlands guy, James?
No, not really. I played it a little bit, but it just seemed so complicated. And I would play it with my roommate, and I would just kind of follow him around.
Right.
So I never really understood what the hell we were doing. I'm just like, oh, we're going over here to shoot this crap, and then we're going over here, we're going to shoot this crap. He's like, we got to hop in this dune buggy and go riding. I'm like, okay. I was just like tagging along, but I never followed it. I've always enjoyed the artwork.
Yeah,
like
the artwork
is
cool.
It's a beautifully rendered game.
Yeah, the way it looks kind of like a cartoon or a comic book.
Yeah.
But
I'm getting some nods over here. Were you a Borderlands fan?
No, I had the same exact experiences.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, okay.
I hopped in with my old roommate. I just kind of got lost in it. And
get your own storyline. stealing my story.
It's same thing.
Great.
Same thing.
James is picking a fight with the wrestlers. Awesome.
This is going to end well.
Yeah. We already
I know my limits. I know my limits.
We already got the title of the episode, the one where James dies.
Yeah. So, yeah, Borderlands 3, I give it a thumbs up. I'm definitely going to be looking for it. Well, I mean, we're into the – when you hear this, this drops during the holiday weekend.
Yeah. So, on Black Friday, I'm sure it's going to be on sale somewhere, right?
Yeah, this is when this is when shopping becomes a contact sport. So considering that we've got two guys who are part of a contact sport, Hello Beefcake, do you have any tips for people as they're going out shopping this holiday season?
I mean, just get in there and be the biggest and baddest for the most part.
Yeah.
Make your presence known.
Forearms are better than fists,
absolutely,
right?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Find somebody who looks like Joe and take him with you.
All right. That's a good tip.
What are you doing on Friday, Joe? I got to get some stuff from Walmart.
You know what? I think I can escort you. Sounds good.
Perfect.
To me.
All right. Perfect. We got it.
Juggernaut our way through everybody.
Yeah. I dig it. All right. Well, while we're talking about gaming,
can you also pull me in a rickshaw at the time?
I would love to.
I think he probably
could.
That's
pretty much how I just want to train. Rocky Four style.
Look at the goddamn shoulders on that man, Al. I think he can.
Whenever we have a big match, I just have all my family get in a rickshaw and I lift it.
That's a training regimen.
I thought you were going to say they hop in and you take him to the match.
That's right. That's right.
On the highway.
Thanks for supporting me, Mom.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, while we're talking about video games, a couple of things I saw over the weekend, too. There's a rumor that over the last couple of days has become more than a rumor that they're working on a new Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't he like 112 now?
he's immortal.
He's got an amazing Twitter.
Oh, does he?
Where like people will be like, you know what you remind me of? That Tony Hawk guy. And he'll just be like, yep. That's
get to the top level, you unlock the rascal.
That would be fun though. You're riding the rascal on some of those ramps, like Jackass style, stunts. I can see that being put in the game if they went to do something kind of cool. I haven't played Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I don't know.
I know it forever,
high
right?
High school?
Right.
Know?
But that was my favorite on his Twitter. He was at an airport, and the security person was like, man, you look like Tony Hawk. I wonder what he's doing now. And he's like, this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which was fantastic. Great, yeah. But yeah, somebody on, I believe on Reddit that has connections with Activision said that they were working on either remastering the first couple Tony Hawks or making a completely new one. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I would much rather just have a remastered version of Tony Hawk, of the first or second Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Because I know when I got that little PlayStation a couple of months ago and I started figuring out how to add games on that.
The plug-and-play one, yeah.
If I had a counter of what games I've played and how long, nothing has been played more than Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I will come home and Amy will just play that from like noon to midnight sometimes. Because when she gets into gaming, boy, does she get into gaming. That's why I don't have the new Pokemon game yet. I still would like to have my Switch for a little while longer before I get that and then I don't see it for a week.
Yeah, for me, in terms of Tony Hawk Pro Skater, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
New one, old one. Like, I actually was more of a BMX guy.
Okay.
So I was Matt Hoffman BMX. I was playing that. Dave Mira's BMX. I was playing those. It's essentially the same exact type of game.
It's a bike instead of a motorcycle.
I'm on a bike instead of
skateboard.
I hit a ramp. I hit a button to rotate to try to do as many 360s as I can, and then mash every other button on the controller to do every single kind of trick that I possibly can and try to land it and get the high score. So
well, you guys enjoy that. I want my 2 extreme back. Give me 3 extreme.
3 extreme.
Is that on your 3DO?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like the as they move forward with the Tony Hawk series, much like the WWE series, it just like they change stuff so much that it just, you know, it's not as good. The last one they did, I think they actually had a skateboard controller for, because it was during the time that Rock Band and Guitar Hero was a big thing.
Oh, that was Tony Hawk Ride or something.
Yeah. I don't want to actually try. I know I can't skateboard. That's why I play Tony Hawk. I'm a skater.
Well, yeah, that's what I always thought felt about Madden, too. You know, I used to play Madden. I'd get the new one. They used to have the one where it was quarterback vision. And you had to, like, have some real, like, understanding of the quarterback position. Like, what the hell? Like, I did play football. I was a defensive tackle. Your job was kill whatever's in front of you. It's very simple. And I was a bench warmer. I couldn't even do the simple job.
Oh, no.
So, like, now I got to, like, really know the game. It's just, it's too much.
Let's request D-tackle vision for the next man.
That would be pretty. Yeah. Can you imagine getting a VR Madden game where you can choose what thing you, what position you are, and you can just get tackle vision?
I will not buy that. I've got a glass coffee table. I'm gonna cutting something.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. But the other thing I thought about is if they made a Tony Hawk Pro Skater now, they would try and get songs from now to put in it. And to me, part of the charm of Tony Hawk Pro Skater is those soundtracks from the first couple of games.
For
yeah,
sure.
The ska and the punk from the first game. Listen to Primus.
Yeah.
Or I was just talking to Amy because she's the one that plays so much of it in our house. She loves, Power Man 5000 when Worlds Collide?
Yeah, Power Man, yeah.
For me, it's the Suicide Machines New Girl because that's my jam. So I just want to hear those songs again. I just want to.
Goldfinger?
Yeah, Goldfinger Superman.
That's my jam.
Chuck, I'll make you a playlist, for Christ's sake. You have to buy it.
There is one. There is one on one of the streaming services. There's totally a playlist.
Oh, so absolutely.
I can tell you, I found it, and I've listened to Suicide Machines' New Girl quite a few times. The other big rumor that I saw on Reddit is that the next Rockstar, the guys who make Grand Theft Auto, the next game they're apparently working on is set in medieval times.
Oh, cool.
What? So what? Like,
sounds sweet.
Grand Theft Renfest?
So you're like stealing like horses and carriages? And
I guess.
Like,
yeah, because they, I mean, it's
going to like old bathhouses to like beat up the prostitutes.
We know them for Grand Theft Auto and we know them for Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
And they've made other games, obviously, right. Manhunt and Bully and stuff
and
like that.
And Red Dead is essentially Old West Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
Dude, I love this. I'm in.
A knight on a horse just doing whatever you want.
Yes.
Just slapping people with
sold.
Your sword.
I'm in.
You're in? All right.
I'm in.
That's why I wanted to talk to you guys about
so
it.
So you have to remind me.
Hell, the game's coming out in 2023, so make sure you mark your calendar.
Right, right. So we'll play it in, 2025 or something like that?
Yeah.
Because me and you play games well past their date.
Well, the last time they delayed Red Dead Redemption 2 because they had to get the horse nuts right, so who knows what this one's going to be.
Yeah, if only they got the horse controls right.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted to make sure you could see the nuts shrink when it got
cold.
Expand.
Oh, I was so pissed. I was so mad when that news came out. Like, Chuck told me about it like I was going to be like, oh, wow, that's so detailed. I'm like,
horse nuts.
Care about horse the goddamn horse nuts.
No, Andy Green was excited about horse nuts.
You gotta keep the equestrian enthusiasts happy, okay, guys? If that's one thing Rockstar learned, keep the equestrian enthusiasts happy.
I ended up with a female horse, too, so I didn't even get to see the goddamn
horse nuts. How many people figured out they had a girl horse and was like, well, now I gotta go find a dude horse. I wanna see the horse nuts.
Who doesn't? Usually a line you only hear around when somebody's into bestiality.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Welcome to Nerd Radio.
Or a furry or something like that. So, that's something to look forward to. Also, while we're talking about video games, before we move on to our next topic, I wanted to bring up the fact that for the last couple of weeks, the Checkpoint, whoever's running the Checkpoint XP Twitter has been trolling me about that. They did a thing a couple of weeks ago saying, what does your backlog look like? So I was my day off. I had a couple hours to kill. So I just got all the games all the physical copies of games that I didn't have, and I stacked them up and I took a picture or something like that. And ever since then, I'm getting trolled about the fact that I will never finish any of those games. And they are wrong.
No, okay.
They are wrong. I finished Final Fantasy 15 last week. And before I came...
I love Final Fantasy 15.
15. And before I came in today, I finished Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 on my Switch. So that's two down.
27 to go.
You got to eat your vegetables, Chuck. That's what I feel like right now. Like Checkpoint XP's telling you, eat your vegetables.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's also, like I played Borderlands over the weekend, and I'm like, this is really great, but I got all these games to play.
What are some of the other games in your backlog? I didn't see the
I've got
the
stuff
post.
On the Xbox 360. I've got like the Wolverine game that I never played is in there. And what else? I got the Deadpool game because I never I never played that.
This is a huge backlog.
Oh, yeah. No, it's massive.
2011.
Yeah. There are games that are like 10 years old that are in there. I know I cleared off the second Marvel Ultimate Alliance earlier this year out of my backlog in there. I've got the last Mass Effect is in there. I bought the game Agents of Mayhem, which was made by the people who were made Saints Row. Because I love Saints Row, which that's another rumor I read that they're going to be working on another Saints Row, and I am in. Saints Row, in my opinion, so much more fun than Grand Theft Auto.
You've said that.
So much more fun.
And I see it because I do have the PlayStation Now thing right now. And I see it in there, and I think about giving it a try based on your recommendation, but
then
I don't.
Part of the fun, much
too
like
too much commitment for you,
much like the WWE games. Part of the fun is you make your own character.
Actually, it's funny you say that, James, because I did download a Sherlock Holmes game from that service. Cost me nothing aside from the subscription, and I put it on, and I love mysteries and stuff, and I like Sherlock Holmes, and it was like. It got about 12 seconds into the opening cutscene. I was like, I don't have time for this crap. And I shut it off. And it's like I wouldn't did anything. I wouldn't watch TV.
Yep.
Like, I think I have no time to play video games. I do nothing. You know, I work my ass off at work, and then I go home, and I'm two heartbeats above being dead. I don't move.
I know what you mean, because I feel the same way sometimes. So I have that Outer Worlds game. Yeah. Sure. And I'm like, I got time to play it. I got time. I could play it right now. I put it in, and I start talking to other people in the game, like the NPC characters.
Right.
And I'm like, this is way too much dialogue. I got to do too much work reading all this stuff. Okay, let's watch Disney Plus. And I turn it off.
James is not here to read.
I feel like I should not recommend Death Stranding then to you guys.
Okay.
It's a lot of walking from what I've seen.
Well, no, super long cutscenes too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's Hideo Kojima for you there. What are you guys gamers?
I am.
Okay. What are you currently playing?
Death Stranding.
Just Death Stranding?
Yeah, just, yeah. It's, nice. It takes up too much of my time. Yeah, I do have a backlog. It's not as old as yours, though.
That's fair.
I watched him die in the Samurai game at least 40 times one time.
Yeah. Right.
He's so bad at games.
That's hilarious. The backlog isn't as bad as Chuck's. He's played Mario 3.
He has. Absolutely. I played Mario 3. I'm great at Mario 3, man.
So back to Death Stranding. Did they make Norman Reedus as buff as he should have been?
Because I think it's Norman Reedus game.
Yeah.
Like, okay. He looks
I think
lean.
He made the creators go back to make him look buffer.
That's what I'd do, too. Like, look, I need to be the Hulk. as you can see on my protein jug.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back with some more Nerd Radio with the guys from Hell Owl Beefcake. It's coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio, wherever you're getting your podcast as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. We're also on your social media at Nerd Radio 101 on YouTube as well. And James, we're on Twitch Wednesday afternoon.
The Checkpoint XP Studio. We twitch.tv/CheckpointXP Wednesday afternoons around 11:30.
Absolutely. Chuck Bean, James, and Al Beck. Joined this week by the guys from Hell Beefcake, Joe and Idris. It is Idris, right?
Yes.
All right. I just wanted to make sure I'm bad when I first meet people. I tell everybody it's all me. I have the brain of a goldfish. Oh. So I'm like, wow, this rock is really pretty.
His name gets butchered all the
wow,
time.
Wow, this rock
it's
is really pretty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got.
I'm always worried when I say it. Every time I'm about to say it, like I was trying to call him the Sultan of Shawarma before, and I'm like, right. This is Shawarma. He's the Shawarma man.
Shawarma guy.
Like, he had a match at, like, Impact one time, and then online, he was, like, making his Impact debut, Envious Abraham.
No.
Yeah. So I just turned into a new character. I'm just envious all the time.
That's the most heartbreaking thing. And then on commentary, I was called Joel Kaufman one time.
Oh, no.
It wasn't by me in that wrestling league we were involved.
Absolutely
in,
not. Okay. No way.
Good. I want to make sure I don't have that hanging over
no,
my
you
head.
Are a pro, baby.
Well, thank you. I'll try.
All right. Well, let's get into some comic books here because that's definitely something we talk about on Nerd Radio. So this is the end of the month, which means the previews magazine that Diamond, the people who distribute comic books, comes out with, which means we get to see what's coming out 3 months from now. And they have the second of the new X-Men trade paperbacks in there. What they're calling the Dawn of X. Now, the first one, they came out with...
Just the Jonathan Hickman stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Well, but this is like after the House and Powers of X thing. So this is the new, you know, New Mutants and Fallen Angels and Marauders and stuff. All the new titles that are monthly now that are coming out. So Hickman's doing, I think, New Mutants and X-Men. But they've got other writers doing other ones. The first one, the first trade paperback came out, and it was just the first issues of the six new series that were coming out.
Okay.
So Fallen Angels, Marauders, New Mutants, X-Men.
I wonder how that reads.
A little strange, but having read it weekly, they do kind of go from one to another. a little bit, which is kind of cool. There's definitely things that are going on in one book that will be addressed in another book. When the next month, when the next Dawn of X trade paperback comes out, it's all the second issues. So from the sounds of it, until they've got like enough for just the first volume of New Mutants or something like that, they're going to put out these trade paperbacks that are all of like that month's issues.
That's awesome. I really do like that, because for a long time Marvel had things where something would happen in a title, but it's not necessarily being acknowledged in a sister title.
Right.
But as we're discussing with these Dawn of X books, like something major happens in X-Force number one.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, that's a really big plot line. How are they going to fit that into everything? And then the next week, X-Men 2 and something else came out, but both books talked about it. So it was like, oh, okay. So everything is literally tying together amongst all the books. So that's really cool. I like it.
Seems like what they're doing in like the Marvel movies, how each movie will kind of tie into some of the other movies. They're now incorporating this into the comics.
Yeah, they're absolutely trying to go for that kind of feel, where it's like, I don't know if it's a matter of you can't miss any of the books, but they all tie into each other. They're all in a shared universe.
I like
even
the idea
more so.
I think it's a cool way to get people to read maybe some different like storylines or different comics within the realm of the X-Men or whatever that
right.
normally wouldn't check out.
Al, I brought it up because you're a comic book reader and you're kind of a grump. So what do you think of this?
I'm grumpy about it.
You're grumpy about it?
Just the amount of titles you have to read?
Because that is exactly it. And this is an issue that I've, specifically with Marvel, obviously they all want you to read as many of their titles as they want.
And they ship twice monthly now, almost all of them.
A lot of them do.
To me, it's too much. And Marvel is the number one offender of that, where it's like, maybe I just want to read my Deadpool. And I haven't had time because I've been two heartbeats above dead. So I haven't been reading very much. So now I'm down to just collecting my Deadpool because that's what I love. I got my Deadpool, my Green Lantern, and then you've got me on a Garth Ennis Punisher book that you've been picking up for me. But it's like, okay, I just want to read Deadpool. And then every time there's a big crossover event, now I don't know what the hell's going on in my book unless I read the crossover event. And then I got to read the Spider-Man title, and I got to pick up a couple of the X-Men issues if I want to find out what's going on in that. And all I want is my goddamn Deadpool. I just want a chimichanga. You know what I mean? Like, and it drives me nuts.
Absolutely.
And X-Men, and see, now you're a big X-Men guy, and I know Chuck is a big X-Men guy, so you probably want to collect them all.
For the most part, I love a lot of the characters in Excalibur, for example, so I want to know what Apocalypse is up to. I want to know what Gambit and Rogue are doing, and Psylocke, even though she's not, like, cool Ninja Psylocke anymore.
Right.
She's, like, separated from that part. But
Ninja Psylocke's over in the Fallen Angels book now.
Yeah, I want to read the sexy Psylocke, you know what I mean? Yeah, and I've never really been into the New Mutants, so I'm picking it up just so I can see if it ties into anything else, which it may, but and Hickman's really good at what he does, but just, I don't know. I'm not too keen on Excalibur just yet or New Mutants, but the rest of them seem great, and I can't wait till the Wolverine series launches.
Sure.
So that'll be cool.
And see, I do like Wolverine. I'd like to be able to pick up maybe just a couple Wolverine issues, but then I have to read the others. That's what I hate. Is they're like, well, they sort of try to monopolize not only my money, but my time as well.
Yeah. Right?
I would say that you don't have to, like, even with the current X-Men books, you don't have to pick up anything other than the book you want. It's just that events will occur in all the books that the other books will talk about.
Yeah. But like the one
we've been dancing around is a couple of weeks ago in X-Force number one, Charles Xavier was murdered.
Dun, dun, dun.
And
again?
Again, yeah.
But now it's like he's the guy who's like, has the codex or Rolodex, whatever you're going to call it, of all the mutants' like memories and stuff. So he like downloads them into a mutant when they die and they're resurrected. So if he's dead, what happens?
Yeah, and that's the thing that they did in House of X, is that now whenever any of the mutants die, they just kind of clone them a new body. Charles psychically puts the backup of them in it and pow, they're back kind of thing.
It's kind of wild, though, because like that whole concept, it's like, so technically they are dead, and they're just clones now.
Right. Yeah,
so, like,
exactly.
We have to accept that like the actual original soul of this being is gone, and now they're just whatever. I don't know.
I didn't realize X-Men was so deep.
It's wild right now.
I didn't realize that Charles Xavier became the Cloud to back up.
He was, he was the Cloud.
That's what Cerebro becomes.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, the idea that like once he's gone, like, can we continue to pull this off? I have to imagine, given the protocols that they have, he's probably like he's off camera now. He's probably they brought him back immediately. That's high priority.
Oh yeah,
but he's off camera now because if he's a target, then that sucks. But if everyone thinks he's dead, then all right, nobody's going to come after him again. Mm. But yeah, the new X-Force came out. I haven't even read it yet. This was the first week that there were three X-Men books.
Came out today then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't even gotten a chance to check those out. But I think it's cool because the trade paperbacks, it'll be all of the second issues or all the third issues are $17.99 instead of the first one's like $24.99. And I would imagine, once again, once they get six issues deep in any of these titles, they'll be just that title.
I will say, if I wanted to get into X-Men and I wanted to make sure I covered all the bases, the way they're releasing the trades makes it a little bit easier because it's all just one-stop shopping for it all.
Yeah.
But how often are they releasing these trades?
Essentially monthly. I know that the one for, is it February now? Let's see, November, December, January, February. Yeah, the one for February has the second and the third trade listed. Because they, like Joe was saying, like they've kind of been double shipping a lot of these books.
So for the way they have it structured, that you pretty much need to read everything, I do like it for that. But I don't like monopolizing my time. So right. I like it and I hate it.
Especially when it's $4 or $5 a book on top of it. It's come on, man.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because if we're collecting it monthly, then we don't need the trade. I have all the books.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't need that. Real briefly, Joe, you're a big X-Men fan. Where did you... tell me about your love of X-Men.
It's almost like it was ingrained into me when I was growing up.
But, okay.
I guess it kind of started like early 90s, whatever. And I started probably with like the original X-Force comic because I remember I remember specifically buying X-Force number one.
Yeah.
And the whole gimmick was they all had like a trading card with them in the bag. And I flipped over mine. And I was like, this guy looks like a Ninja Spider-Man. That guy's sweet. And of course it was Deadpool.
Yeah.
And I was hooked from that. And then I got the Jim Lee and Chris Claremont X-Men number one.
Oh, good.
Yep.
So I've been really onto it since then. And then the cartoon, of course, came out shortly after that. And then been hooked ever since. Haven't missed an issue.
That's so awesome. All right, well, in other comic book news, here's something else to make you angry, Al.
That could be anything. It's so easy.
But you're reading Grant Morrison Green Lantern, and you're not angry about that?
Oh, I'm so upset about that.
Very angry about that.
I am so upset. I hate Grant Morrison, but I love Green Lantern.
See, I have a love-hate with that guy. Like, he just thinks he can be... He's like, I'm Grant Morrison. I'm so creative and clever. I'll put whatever I want out, and that's it. But it's... So annoying.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
There was one issue where I flipped it open and then like the whole issue was like an epic poem or something. I was like, I've had enough. I'm done. You are finished, Grant Morrison.
Yeah, well, whatever your favorite character is like Grant Morrison takes that over. Like, that's what happened to me. I love Green Lantern and I was so mad. Chuck broke the news to me and I didn't want to believe him.
Yeah.
It was a moment.
It was rough.
As today might not imply, I don't enjoy making Al angry. Sometimes it's funny. I certainly don't enjoy making him sad. And when I had to tell him that Grant Morrison was going to be writing Green Lantern, that was a dark day.
But I loved his X-Men stuff.
I thought
it was awesome, revolutionary, and just groundbreaking. But they were like... It was the point where it went to such an extreme where they're like, we have to kind of like undo everything you did.
That was probably the worst part of his X-Men run is it's like almost we're used to as comic book fans, we're used to them retconning stuff and being like, okay, well that part doesn't count kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like the month after he left the book, they were retconning stuff. Well, it wasn't gradual at all.
I honestly still can't really explain what the hell Zorn is. I'm like, was it a Magneto impersonator who was also a Zorn impersonator and then Zorn does exist? What?
Yep.
Like,
well, the thing about Grant Morrison is he does have a lot of great ideas. You know, he does. Yeah. He can write some really good comics, but then it just gets really weird. Timelines end up out of order and stuff like that. If you're not on the same drugs as him at the same time, it's not going
to
make sense.
Yep. He tries to do it on purpose. Like, have you guys watched Doom Patrol?
No.
The show? Like, that's apparently how Grant Morrison, like, made it big was this Doom Patrol comic at DC, which I never read, but there was, like, some joke they made. They're like, who is this show made for? It kind of breaks the fourth wall, and someone's like, oh, you know, the internet fans and Vertigo fans and Grant Morrison fans, and as the show progressed, I'm like, man, this is the most Grant Morrison crap I've ever heard.
Right.
And then, like, I look it up, and sure as hell, he was the guy who was responsible for all the writing and things like that, but... He's nuts, man.
He's hit or miss with me because he's absolutely smarter than I am, and sometimes he just wants to show it.
Yeah.
He just wants to write over my head, and I hate. Sometimes I'm like, get out of here! I hate that.
He does stuff on purpose. Like, there's a Green Lantern that has a volcano for a head.
There is.
What?
No, that's something I actually want to read. That sounds interesting to me. Every time he tries to talk to you, he just spews lava right in your face.
All right, so Gwenpool, the character Gwenpool, yes, has what's supposed to be her final miniseries, okay, going on right now. And in Gwenpool Strikes Back number 4, which came out a couple of weeks ago, she lifts Thor's hammer.
Mm.
But the way she does it is amazing. So
sounds very sexual.
A year or two ago.
What does she do?
So she a year,
how does she raise that hammer?
Yeah.
A year or two ago, Thor had his arm chopped off during Uncanny Avengers, and he had to get, you know, some kind of a new arm, essentially. She goes and finds the rotting arm that Thor had chopped off and puts it on like a glove, and then raises Thor's hammer with his old hand.
So she puts on a Thor hand condom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lifts his hammer.
And then lifts the hammer.
My God. If that hand was worthy, though, it was definitely his pleasure hand. I'm telling you that right now.
Did you think? Maybe it was unworthy. Maybe.
But it was unworthy when he lost it.
True. It's a great point.
Nick Fury whispered whatever he whispered in his ear, and then he lost his worthiness.
Right.
And then, you know, he lost his arm, so it wasn't a worthy arm anymore.
So eventually, so what we're discovering is she didn't have to put on a decomposing arm to lift Thor's hammer. She was worthy anyways.
I guess.
What I do like about that, obviously, Gwenpool and Deadpool kind of have a similar, you
it's
know.
She's fourth wall breaking, but they have done a good job because initially Gwenpool they did a bunch of variant covers.
Yeah.
That were supposed to be Gwen Stacy, and the Deadpool one was Gwenpool, and the design was such a big deal. They're like, okay, we need to make a character out of this.
Yes.
So instead of making her just straight up Deadpool, but Gwen Stacy,
yeah,
she is, as a character, she exists. She came from our universe into the Marvel universe and was a huge comic reader. So she knows everybody's secret identity and all this different stuff about them.
I'm remembering that now.
Right.
Yeah. The only thing I do like about what you just told me is it is a very Deadpool type of thing to do. Like, well, this will work.
Right.
Put this on. But yeah, dumb.
All right, well, I figured it'd run which by us.
Could be the episode title.
Yeah,
dumb.
Dumb. All right, well, that's all I got for comic books, but we do still have a couple of more things to talk about. And, of course, if you're one of our podcast listeners, we will be doing an in-depth interview with the guys from Hillel Beefcake who are in the studio with us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Roger me, welcome me, anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
And now, back to the nerds.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRAF.com. Also on the podcast page at
Rock929Rocks.com.
Thank you very much, Al. We're also on Twitch on Wednesday afternoons. James, where are we?
You can find us at the Checkpoint Studios. Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. I'm slipping up today.
Yeah, well, it's
James,
all right.
Come on.
I'm nervous. We got these hunks in the studio. I know. Today, so I'm
exactly.
All, I'm a little flabbergasted.
The ones who are nervous. Come on now.
He's flustered.
Trying not to stare at the pecs.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard not to.
James, well, so you did a little bit of wrestling commentary, but you've never been a wrestling announcer. Would you like to take a shot at maybe announcing the Hello Beefcake guys? Ooh.
Put me on the spot. Try to do it here.
You want to try it? Like, I can go first to give you a little bit of. All right, so where's
my notes? You set the table for me, and then I'll just have to try to outdo you.
Where's my notes? All right, so weighing in at a combined 560 pounds from Gainesville, Georgia, it is Joe Coleman, Idris Elba, the Sultan of Shawarma, and the Monarch of Mass. Hello, Beefcake. How's that?
I don't want to hurt your feelings, but
it's Gainesville, Florida, and it's Idris Abraham.
Idris
Elba.
Damn it!
I wish he was my tag team partner.
Damn
sorry,
it.
Idris Abraham.
I wish I was that guy.
He's so handsome.
That's funny. Idris Elba. It's hilarious because, as you mentioned, like I did a little comment, tried to do commentary, and Matt Stryker called you Idris Elba also during the show, and I'd be like, "No, it's Idris Abraham." He just helps the guy that is considering to be black James Bond. Get it together, Matt Stryker.
I'm fired. The See, funny I thing set is, the bar real low for we, you.
Yeah, how's that table set up?
I'm about to pile drive somebody right through that mother effort right now.
He set that table with spam.
Jesus. Good effort. Good effort. Thank you.
All right. So what do we what do the got hell here? Else? You got notes. What's the combined weight?
560.
560? Okay.
From the, what was it? The Performance Center?
Yeah, Halal Beefcake Performance Center.
The Halal Beefcake Performance Center.
Gainesville, Florida.
Okay, let's see if I got
Gainesville,
this.
Gainesville, Florida.
Let me make sure I got the camera on me so I'm looking good.
Yeah, there you go. You got this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in you. Boys and girls, make some noise for the combined weight. 560 pounds reigning in from Gainesville, Florida, straight from the Halal Beefcake Endurance Center. We got Mr. Latter-day Night Joe Coleman and his partner, the Sultan of Shawarma, Idris Abraham. Make some noise for Halal Beefcake.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Mm. I popped. That was
good. That's
I
it.
I popped for that. That was good.
Tell me to get Chuck some new pants. Need some new underwear. He's popped.
We are flattered. Yeah.
My turn. Don't hurt me. We're done. And we do have our guests in studio, so we mentioned that we stream live on Twitch, of course, yep. But also you can check out the YouTube channel, because James has been cutting up some of these episodes. So for clips and full shows, head to youtube.com/nerdradio101.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this week in wrestling, because it's
definitely... Oh, it's the BFK Performance Center. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It came back to me.
Those WWE guys copied us.
Yeah, right.
I do like... I wish just they like, hailing way. From, we don't really give a... somewhere that's not here!
Al's got the biggest armpit stains I've ever seen on camera.
Did you get those on camera?
Of all the days. Flex, of all the days to be wearing gray.
That's why we wore crop tops. Yeah. There's no pit stains.
You never get pit stains then.
No.
Right.
Listen, I am not healthy, okay? I walked up a set of stairs 40 minutes ago and I'm still recovering.
Because apparently so is your Joe. He's nervous.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. I'll be needing that rickshaw to take me back to the office.
I'll hook you up, man.
Cool.
Hop in.
Just carry me bodyguard style. Yeah. And okay, what do we got? This day in wrestling, whatever. Let's move
this
on.
This weekend was Survivor Series and also NXT TakeOver. We're not going to get into it too deeply because we'll definitely have Erica in maybe next week or the week after. And maybe we'll even get Nate in here because I know he's big on the AEW stuff. But it was a great weekend of wrestling. Typically, I work midnights both Saturday and Sunday, so I try and catch it kind of on tape delay. But both nights, I just stayed up and watched, and I really don't regret it, other than the fact that I needed the sleep. I don't regret watching the shows because they were both pretty great. You guys, Joe and Idris, you guys still watch the WWE stuff?
Well, when we can. This weekend was tough because we were... at our own shows.
Yeah, you guys were defending your tag team title.
Well, actually, we just won the United Glory.
Yeah, hold those babies up.
Tag team championships.
Congratulations.
United Glory Pro Wrestling.
Nice.
A steel cage match.
Ooh.
No less. Brutal.
Well done.
Thank you.
But no, I was wondering, what about you, James? Did you get to check out anything?
I watched a little bit. I always sit down and try to watch it.
Right.
I actually enjoyed War Games more than I think I enjoyed the Survivor Series itself.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not a big NXT guy. So, like, to me, I was surprised that I actually enjoyed that more. But I thought, like, the women's War Games match was awesome.
Yeah.
But then I feel like it all kind of went downhill from there.
Okay.
And then I thought Survivor Series was just okay. Like, I feel like the Survivor Series... they're doing the same thing with this invasion like angle. Let's set up this match, and then you know somebody will come and interrupt it. It's been the same way, you know, NXT
right.
will come in and interrupt this match, so there's not actually a winner. And I just feel like they are really putting NXT over.
They are
putting NXT over, and I've gotten in arguments with people on Twitter about this. But for me, once I got back into WWE, the NXT was kind of like the farm league
right.
for the WWE talent. So you could kind of cut your teeth on the farm league, and then you get bumped up into the WWE to be on Raw or SmackDown. So I feel like now they're kind of taking some stuff away from their flagship shows, like Raw and SmackDown, by now saying NXT is on the same level. They're now on the same level, and I'm fine with that. Like, they have some very talented performers in there and wrestlers. Like, they have some very talented people. But
so it's like more like the third show now rather than being a farm league, as you were putting it.
And I feel like they're doing that to now be like, we are putting on just as a superior product as AEW.
Right.
To try to make so now NXT's on the same level as these two shows that are up against AEW. So now this show is on the same level as these. So to try to give more competition
against
AEW. So the whole like NXT takeover story and all that kind of stuff, I'm kind of bored with. And
I would have to imagine it's kind of over now that Survivor Series is done.
I hope so, because every time there's a match, I'm like, I wonder who from NXT is going to come interrupt this one.
Right.
This is a big title match. I wonder who's going to come and interfere. You know, is it going to be Rhea Ripley or Shayna Baszler? Are they going to come in and, you know, beat up Becky Lynch? What's going to happen? You know, I feel like it's all been so predictable lately. So a lot of the Survivor Series stuff, I was just kind of bored.
Right.
You know, I had a better time watching Finn Balor fight Matt Riddle.
Yeah, the bro. And,
yeah, the bro stallion, another one of my favorites. But
I thought the men's war game match was really, like, having Kevin Owens come in was really cool.
Yeah, it was cool to see Kevin Owens come in and be part of the team, but like I was kind of bored. I felt like it kind of went on a little too long.
All those table spots at the very end were just like, oh my god.
I don't even remember the table spots.
So. I'm impressed that
Ciampa Adam Cole spot was pretty brutal.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that so many of those guys showed up, you know, the next night to wrestle full matches all over again. Like, good Lord. You guys kind of have, you know, you, as professional wrestlers yourself, so I'm interested, what do you think of the state of pro wrestling at this, you know, with AEW and NXT and everything like that? Like, what do you guys think of what's going on?
I think it's awesome. It's great that there's a competition and there's a lot of different places to go work and be seen and get paid, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's really great that there's a bit of competition out there. There's a lot of wrestling out there now, so it's great if you're a fan and you can watch it all, but, man, that's a lot of wrestling every week.
Yeah, it's went from I watch wrestling, so I watch everything, to I like wrestling, but I have a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
It's almost like you can go shopping and pick out the type of wrestling you want, because there's so much of it out there. Well, it's the same thing with streaming services when it comes to like Disney Plus and Netflix and all that stuff like that. And obviously, we've been big fans here at the show of the Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Over the weekend, the gifts that you could get online of Baby Yoda or the Ugnaught saying "I have spoken" or something like that all disappeared off of social media.
Yeah,
and everyone expected that was Disney just bringing the hammer down and saying no, that's our stuff. You can't make gifts of it. Apparently, it was just a mistake. Apparently, the people who run Giphy, which if you use Facebook, that's how you search out your gifts, said that there was just a glitch in the system that kind of wiped out a whole bunch of gifts, and those just happened to be because they're some of the new ones.
Killed like Baby Yoda.
I used a Baby Yoda one yesterday of him using the Force. It says, me trying really hard. I love it.
I love those Baby Yoda memes.
Yeah, they're fantastic. The absolutely. And it's been a fun show, too. You guys big Star Wars fans?
Yes.
What do you think of The Mandalorian?
I love it. I think it's great.
Are you looking forward to the movie coming out in, next month?
Well, no, not really.
This is a Star Wars fan. He has been hurt before.
Yeah, no, I didn't even watch Solo. I'm just like, no, you will not get my money. I have not even bought the tickets yet because I'm just like, that last movie was so bad.
It
broke everybody's heart.
Yeah, I was not a fan of Last Jedi, and you know what though? It lowered my expectations. I was so happy with Force Awakens. Rogue One was amazing, and so my expectations were really high. And then you know it was crushed by Last Jedi. So you know, by the time I got to Solo, I was like, it was fun. It wasn't great. I could have done without it, but it wasn't bad either. So I think the expectations were too high going into the other one.
Yeah,
so
I agree, for sure.
maybe you know, circle around and give it a watch. And it's on. Is it on Disney Plus?
I think so. Yeah.
Is it?
I believe so.
Mandalorian is exactly like Disney knows they need to. Like Star Wars is bleeding like profusely. Yeah. Like it's on life support almost to an extent, and they're like, what do Star Wars fans really like? Well, they love Boba Fett for some reason. Personally,
right.
I always think Boba Fett sucks, but...
Oh.
I know, I'm dropping a bombshell.
What a controversial statement.
Hey, he went out like the biggest goober ever.
I've
like, Boba
felt
Fett
similar,
where?
Yes.
And he doesn't even do anything in the movies. He just looks cool. It was because of, like the toy was such a big deal before Empire Strikes Back even came out. That's why he got so over.
Sometimes all you need to be able to do is look cool. Okay?
Yeah.
It's gotten me this far. I just look cool.
Hey, man, it got us here.
I do agree with Joe, though. Not just because he's the biggest one in the room, either. But he won't be here next week to protect me. But no, I've thought about that, too. Like, the one time you're about to see Boba Fett do anything... Han Solo hits him in the jetpack, and he goes right into the Sarlacc pit.
Right, like,
right. So, yeah. I watched like, those movies a little later than everyone else, and everyone's hyping up Boba Fett, and I'm like, and I watched movies, and I was just okay. Like, yeah. I was not impressed at all. I don't really care for him.
And that's what Disney said. They're like, well, people like Boba Fett, so let's give him this Mandalorian guy. And then also, as we found out at the end of the first episode, people really love Yoda, so let's do this Mota Mogwai guy, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's all we need. It's awesome.
Well, if you don't want to go and see the new Star Wars movie, you could probably go see Frozen 2, because that is, as of last weekend, is the highest global debut of an animated movie ever.
Really?
Yeah. Which I hope we can beat when the next Enter the Spider-Verse comes out.
Yes.
I think I heard Al was waiting in line to see that movie.
See Frozen 2?
Yeah, on the opening.
What'd you think of it?
Everything I was hoping for. Made me feel light as a feather. don't know what else to tell you. you know what, but not to circle back around to Star Wars, but I'm going to anyway.
That's
fine. We're talking about what Star Wars fans need. I think the biggest problem they have right now is they're between two fan bases, because we've got the aging Star Wars fans, but they also desperately want new fans. And I think that's where we're running into problems. You know, like Last Jedi, one of my those goddamn porgs were obnoxious, but they're trying to get kids into this thing. You
know, they're almost Disneyfying Star Wars a little bit too much.
Right.
Like the porgs, and I forget what some of my other complaints were with the other movies, which I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on it, because I was so infuriated with
that movie. Disrespected everybody.
I am the only person in this room that liked Last Jedi.
Whoa!
Oh, my goodness.
That movie was awesome for the big block Star Wars. Dun, 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 and then it sucked after that.
Chuck, you might want to keep that a secret.
It's already out there now.
They're going to pull your nerd card, man.
Joe's angry.
Oh, you won't like him when he's angry.
My rage.
My rage. Please tell me you sat in the ring.
I got to draw a blank when I go out there.
No. Let me tell you about what happens when the bell rings. Because I don't know what happens, but he just says the weirdest things ever. As soon as the bell rings, he'll just start calling himself daddy or something. It's just... Yeah, so he does say that.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious, though.
My
rage. But you look me in the eye and just go, my rage. I feel like I could whoop your ass at that point.
Oh, Jesus.
Someone's got to walk me to my car later.
We were talking about Tony Hawk earlier, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I found this video over the weekend from GQ Sports where they had Tony Hawk break down the skateboarding parts of some of our favorite movies. Like Amazing Spider-Man from 2012.
Yeah.
Or Scott Pilgrim versus the World. He talks about Marty McFly's skateboarding chops.
Mm.
Definitely, I'll share this on our social media. But it's fun to hear him. Like, he's talking about Spider-Man and one of the kickflips he does. He's like, okay, well, his board never leaves his back foot, so it's obviously attached to his back foot. And
so he's like the Neil deGrasse Tyson of skateboarding.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
He's breaking it down. Like, there's in Scott Pilgrim, there's the one thing where Chris Evans does the big grind down the stuff, and he's like, okay, so this would work more in my video games than it would in act. Like, there's no way you could jump from that one to that one and then that one to that one. And then also, they call at the end of it, when he crashes, they call it a bail. And he's like, that's not actually called a bail.
Ah! You suck!
That's how it is with, like, everything in movies, too, apparently. Like, if you see a scene where they're in the hospital and they're trying to administer, like, CPR or ER things, like, it's apparently all wrong almost all the time.
Yeah, anybody who works in the medical profession is like, that's not how that works.
And,
you're killing him.
Stuff with, like, yeah,
you're killing him!
Like, stuff with pro wrestling. I was watching GLOW, and, like, they had the girls on there, and they're like, you know what? Yeah, I watched them do this bump. It's easy. You just do this, and then all of a sudden, all of them knew how to do it. And I was it's really hard and painful.
It's not that easy.
No. My first day, they made me do that thing over again, like over and over, until my elbows are bleeding. And I still did not get it right until like weeks later.
Right.
The ring Idris trained in is just murder. It's almost like hitting concrete to take a bump in. God. So it's...
I've taken
a lot of those GLOW girls would have just left.
I've taken one ring bump ever. It was when we recorded that video for you and
the two guys one video game review. I forget what game we even reviewed.
It was a wrestling game. It was probably the whatever WWE game was that year. But you guys asked me to be the referee, and I was there. I get to be in a wrestling ring. Oh, my God. And we were standing around. We were waiting to shoot. And I was like, can I take a bump? And they're like, yeah, if you want to. So I just like, bam, flat back. And I couldn't breathe.
Yeah. You have to breathe out.
My back hurt for 3 days off of one bump.
Dude,
man.
If I took a bump, I would poop out my backbone. Just right out.
But I was so
it
like.
Happens, man.
I was so like. I was so
oh,
happy.
Oh, man, that's my vertebra.
I was so happy that I got to do it. I was like, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I think you're the only one brave enough to actually do it.
I know.
They're trying to get Chuck and I to do it, and I'm like, I got a bad back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I heard the way that ring sounded when you landed. I am not going to do that. You have to take me out of here.
That was before I saw Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano tear the ring up and found out there was 2x4s under that damn thing.
Yep.
People think it's like a soft as a mattress for some reason, but it's,
yeah.
it's like a wrestling mat over wood. That's it.
Yeah. And that's insane.
It was like canvas or something?
Yeah, you got like a canvas, and then there might be a thin layer of styrofoam under it, depending on how
right.
good the promotion you're wrestling for is. And then, yeah, you've just got thick wooden boards yeah. and steel under that.
What's bouncing and, is the wood warping. It's just that's
yeah.
what bounces.
Right.
And like some of these independent rings, like that, like they might put carpets down under
yeah.
under
and
the
that's
mat.
It.
And that's
it.
Serious. You're bumping on pretty much just thick wood and steel, and it's
there you go, padded.
It's savage.
Yeah, it's
so if you're
brutal.
Smart, you don't want to take too many bumps. Make your bumps mean something is what
right.
it comes down to.
Interesting. I remember that. All right.
Chuck just realized he took a bump for no reason.
I did.
He's like, my bump was mean.
My ring my ring psychology
fool.
Is not great. It really is.
We'll work on it. We'll
All
work
right.
on it, Chuck.
We got you.
Fair enough. All right, well, podcast listeners, you're going to get to hear an exclusive interview with the guys from Hillel Beefcake. And for our Twitch stream, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this week for this week's Nerd Radio. Have yourself a fantastic holiday weekend. Eat lots of, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. And try and be safe out there if you're going shopping on Friday.
Yeah, don't kill anybody for an Xbox.
No, it's not worth it. It really isn't.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio.
I don't
want to
see it.
I don't want to see it. Welcome to your. I'm just going to start that again because I have no idea what the F I'm doing.
Well, it's so funny. It's like it's not a normal. It's not like an every week thing.
Welcome to your behind the scenes
yes.
interview.
Yeah. Welcome to your exclusive backstage pass, if you will, if you're a podcast listener.
Nerd Radio Backstage. I like it.
We absolutely appreciate you guys, and we want to give you a little something special this week. So we had the guys from Hillel Beefcake, Idris and Joe in, and definitely wanted to talk to you guys about your careers as professional wrestlers. First of all, thanks again for coming in, guys.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, and thanks for wearing your gear so we can clearly tell, you know, it was you guys.
More importantly, James,
I
thank
like
you
that
for wearing your gear.
Like,
thank you. Because I'm like, right. I'm talking to Joe
right?
through
People
messages.
Can see this?
Right.
My nipples like, are out.
All right. Tell us a little bit about how you guys each got started into getting into professional wrestling. Like, when did you know that's what I want to do?
Man, that's always what I wanted to do. Like, and I always said before I started, I was like, man, if I just won the lottery, I'd totally just quit everything I'm doing. I have this money. I don't have to worry about anything. I'd just train to be a wrestler, and that's what I'd do. And one day, it was right after I finished college, and I was just bartending, doing my thing. And then I've just been such a wrestling fan my entire life, so I was following dirt sheets and things like that. I'd always read about what's going on backstage online, and I saw there were open tryouts at Ohio Valley Wrestling in 2010, and it said something along the lines of, if you ever thought you could do something in this industry, just come down and try it out. It's only $100. I was like, you know, that's going to be a great story to tell one day. So I went down there Labor Day weekend 2010, and here I am right now. I got bit by the bug, man, and that's how I got my start. I went down there and did the tryout, and I saw, you know, what it took, and I was like, this is a lot more difficult than I thought it would be, because people like Tommaso Ciampa was there. There's a lot of guys that have gone on and done some big things since then, but it was they'd been in the industry for like years before this tryout was, and they show up there and they're in like suits and stuff, and I'm in a wife beater, and I've got gym shorts on and wrestling boots I'd borrowed from an independent guy. It was kind of embarrassing, but at least I showed up in shape and things like that. But I was like, man, I got to just try this out and see what I can do. So I moved to Kentucky and got my start at OVW.
Nice. What about you, Idris?
I've always been a huge fan myself, except I'm pretty short, so I never really thought it could ever happen. I'd watch, I'm like, oh, I'd love to do that, but I never thought it would be. Would be real. And then in 2009, I went to my first live WWE event, and it was just a dark match. So this match that happened was not televised or anything. Just before the show, and as soon as the first guy walked out, and just the way the crowd just ate it up, and just watching him, like, I have to do this. I have to find out how I can get involved. And at this point, I knew nothing about indies or nothing like that, so I just started Googling like wrestling schools, and I saw, I'm from Dearborn, so I saw that there was a wrestling school in Windsor, and I think I've been to Canada maybe twice in my entire life, so I don't know what I was thinking when I decided to train in Windsor, but I just reached out to some guy named Scott Damore, and he just started emailing me back, and I started training in Windsor, and here I am now.
Yeah. Excellent.
It was just the perfect, like, I always felt like it was the perfect blend of everything I'd fantasized about. It's you're the closest you can be to being a superhero, or right. In our case, many times a supervillain. You're an athlete and you're an entertainer, so it's all blended into one, and it just was really, really cool.
How did you guys get put together?
Okay, so it's funny enough, we both started in September of 2010. That's when we started training.
Yeah,
we had no idea who each other were. But we used to work out at the same gym.
Okay,
and out in Taylor,
Reps Gym in Taylor just closed. Broke my heart.
Oh,
and after that, I just kind of like we just kind of started talking, and then we started traveling together, and then eventually we just started hanging out more and more, and we just would get rowdy, we'd get wild everywhere we went, and then and then. One promoter was like, well, you guys are awesome together. Let's just put you guys together. And then he booked us. It's actually the guy from Smash Wrestling. Put us together as a tag team. And then we, just because he loved to see us just be ourselves together, we just have this natural energy.
Get wild and party, basically.
Sure. I used to always tell Joe, I was like, I just always wait until you just turn it up a notch, and then I just feed off of your energy. And, it's just go time.
So when I first met him, he was so shy and reserved and the most respectful guy in the entire world.
You've
and
corrupted him.
I did. I take a lot of pride in that. Now, look at this man now. And whenever we'd go to bars, I was like, Abe, no, you can't put your hair up all the time. It's got to be down everywhere we go. Because anywhere we go, like, girls would come up and touch his hair. I'm like, you are the man.
It is fantastic.
Got it.
Yeah. It is super impressive.
He had to embrace it, and now look at him. Look at him. It's like, gorgeous, gorgeous man. The Quad of War.
Oh, some of the nicknames you guys are running through are just
amazing.
Do you come up with those yourself? I mean, where do you, those usually come from? Do you kind of give each other your names?
Yeah, for the most
it's all
part.
Joe. I'll give him credit. It's all Joe. He came up with all my nicknames. He came up with the Sultan Shawarma, the Hummus Spread Heartthrob, and the Quad of War.
The Hummus Spread Heartthrob.
Yeah. Amazing.
Just winning hearts all over.
I'll hear a cool word. I'm like, man, what can I combine with that to make it catchy? And that's it.
Right.
Now, do you guys kind of come up with your gimmick, your character yourself? Is there input from the promoter that you work with? I mean, how does that usually come up?
Sometimes, but on the independent, like, you're definitely your own creator, so you can do whatever you want there. But like, if we were to go to WWE, for example, they might have some input on what kind of character they wanted us to portray. I'm sure we'd have some say in that, but for a while they'd be like, no, you do this and this. So it just depends on what the what the situation is.
Right now it's just us multiplied times 100, like 100. So we're just ourselves.
Yeah,
and
just amped up, like you're just cranking it up to 11.
Like a caricature of yourself, almost.
Exactly.
Just like, exaggerated version.
Mostly me. I'm a little more quiet and reserved in real life, but Joe is Joe everywhere he goes. All of our friends will tell you that Joe is that's just Joe. I mean, he pulled up in this really cool leather jacket he found that only Joe can pull off.
It certainly looked like a Wolverine jacket. I have to say, I saw it on Facebook over the weekend. And I was like, dude, He loves Wolverine, man.
It's like part Wolverine, part Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Well, yeah, I see that.
Well, the part of that statement that I think you guys are sidestepping, that you found? Where was this jacket?
It was actually at a thrift store. Well, okay, it looks, okay. It's like legit Wilson's leather. It looks like it came out of someone's closet from the 70s. Yeah. But it was like, I'm shopping with my girlfriend, and she's like, try this. I was like, look at this. This looks so sweet. It looks kind of like Star-Lord's jacket, but it's longer, yeah. Almost like a trench coat, but not quite. And she's like, well, try it on. I put it on. It fit my shoulders perfectly. And she goes, oh, man, you gotta buy it. And I'm like, all right. And I swear when I put it on, the confidence level is through the roof.
Yes.
Like, I feel like I could enter the UFC and win the title in every weight division.
Nice.
There's
you can,
I can't be stopped.
You can.
Like, I can make decisions in that jacket. It's like two faces coin, but the jacket. I put it on.
Can I borrow that thing for a weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? All right, man. Sounds good.
So, yeah, things are not going well.
So Joe will go shopping in a normal store wearing that jacket and those sunglasses he has on right now. And it's just Joe. It's just Joe being Joe.
I do absolutely love the heart sunglasses.
Yeah.
They are.
Thank you.
I dig it. Fantastic. What are your both of your guys like your training regimen like? Because, you know, obviously pro wrestling is a very physical business, but it's also a very visual business. So you definitely want to make sure visually that you've got something that people like a jacket, if you will, that people will connect to.
Absolutely.
How does your training work? How much you bench?
The best bench I ever had was 395, or maybe it was 390. I got really close to getting four plates.
395.
All right, 395. Okay. But I got close to breaking that 400. I didn't, but you know, it's just I
quitter.
Man, it's really hard on the joints, guys. Yeah. All right, it's brutal. But yeah, I train 6 days a week and things like that. I feel so boring talking about it, but you know, shoulders and back. Mondays and then on Fridays and then chest and arms and. On Tuesdays and whatever, and then there's two leg days, which are brutal and horrible.
Oh,
but.
Christ, wow. Two of them?
Yeah,
two of them.
Yeah.
Had one this morning.
The worst is, like, if you see a wrestler with skinny legs, that's embarrassing, man.
Yeah,
and see,
true.
And then I can call those guys out. I'm like, why is anyone going to think you can beat me in this fight? You clearly don't even train legs. You got no engine in that car you're trying to run. I'm going to crush you.
I skip leg day, but I fill my legs out with pizza.
But, hey, yeah. You know what? I like it.
Are you the same address 6 days a week?
Yeah, 6 days, Whew. Two leg days. I keep the.
Where do you find the time?
You got to make it. Yeah. Like, oh, we're very sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Good Lord. That's why I constantly, like, I'm super impressed. Like I said, your shoulders are amazing. You got some guns on you, but, like, I can't have that time, man.
it's again, you got to make it. It sucks. It's brutal. And 90% of the time, I do not want to go to the gym, but I just drag myself. Cause
right.
If you have the discipline.
If you don't use it, you lose it. That's what
there
it comes
down
to.
There are some days where we'll both just, like, I know we've talked about it, but we'll just park in front of the gym and just sit there for like 30 minutes.
Give yourself
writing it because we're just so tired and just want to do something else.
Just give yourself 5 minutes to cry because you don't want to be there and then do the work.
And there's just no amount of caffeine that can, like, I mean, and my caffeine tolerance is awful. Like, I mean, I can drink this pre-workout stuff past the recommended dose and then I might have a cup of coffee on top of that and it might do nothing.
Oh,
and then
my God.
I still have to drag myself into the gym.
Our friends are convinced that Joe is dead and that he just has caffeine. Flowing through his veins.
The buffest zombie I've ever seen.
I was going to say, it's the most keeps me alive.
I've seen him drink, chiseled dead man ever.
I've seen him drink like extra large coffees from Tim Hortons with like three special shots in there and fall asleep instantly.
Wow. With it in my hand.
Yeah. Spilling it in my car.
And he's
spilling
too. We were driving home from a show like 3 months ago or whatever, and I was drinking a cup of coffee, and I fell asleep, but I did one of those like Twitch things where you wake up, and I spilled it all over myself. And,
oh,
like,
no.
You could hear like the liquid hit the ground and make a splatter and all that. I'm like, oh, gross. And then, but Idris doesn't say anything. He's just eyes on the road, all this. And then, like, we finally make a stop. I'm like, I got to confess something. I spilled coffee all over the front seat. He goes, I know. I just didn't call you out on it.
Just driving, like.
And it was
he heard the he heard the death rattle. He knows.
Yeah. And I had these pink shorts on. So it looked like, like I crapped myself, like, bad. Like, they were just covered. Because it went right down my crotch and in the back. It was just. Oh, it was embarrassing.
I like that you thought it was still a secret in those pink shorts.
It was like the coffee, the car smells entirely like coffee now.
So you guys have day jobs as well as, you know, doing your professional wrestling stuff, right? No. are you guys are doing well enough with the wrestling that you don't have to work day jobs, or just you don't have one at the moment?
No, we both do. I don't know. We just hate that we do, I
guess. Oh, no.
Gotcha.
I bring it up because it's one of those things, like we're talking about doing the workouts and not having the time and stuff like that. Like,
it's tough,
how do you juggle the time between, like, got to go to my 9 to 5, but then I get off at 5 and I got to put the shorts on and I got to be in the ring by 8.
So Joe's up at like 3 or 4 a.m. every morning. I'm up at 5
Whew.
Every single morning just so we can make it to the gym. And then we both go to work. And it's just, it's rough.
Right? Yeah.
Like, if you ever saw me at work, I'm just miserable looking. Like, I am so unapproachable. I'm not sure how no one has said anything, but I'm not like angry or mean. I'm just tired.
Are you like Edward Norton in Fight Club? He's showing up and you're just disheveled, sometimes a little bloody.
Just ready to fight somebody.
I'd like it if you got confused sometime and showed up to work in the wrestling gear. Like, right. Forget which job you're going to.
They always try to tell me to do that at my place. I'm like, I can't sell anybody cloud technology like this. What are you?
Like, you might.
They're like,
no,
go threaten people. I'm like, guys,
you want to look like this one day? Here's the cloud.
You need the Amazon storage. Come on, get with AWS. Let's do this.
So you guys are multiple tag team champions as of this weekend. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What are some of your career highlights so far? I'm sure holding two belts at once is one of them.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely right up there. Smash Wrestling Tag Team Champions, now the United Glory Tag Team Champions at Glory Pro Wrestling. So it's definitely a high accolade. I'm a former OVW television champion as well.
Excellent.
Former Midwest heavyweight champion. Had to roll up the Man Beast Rhino for that 1-2-3. Had him looking at the lights. Then I lost it to him. But it's okay.
It's okay. You won it once, that's what matters.
I had that belt. Held it with prestige and honor for 3 months.
Your name is in the record books.
Absolutely.
I love when they say that. Like, there's
Gordon
record
Half.
Books.
Right.
Well, it's like on Wikipedia, you know?
I'm sure Wikipedia is, I guess, essentially the record books.
Yeah,
it's true.
Right now. If it is Wikipedia, you want that 3 months changed to 6? We'll talk later.
It's out there. It's out there. You can Google it. It's on there. Just don't go too far into the Google and might be on Beefcakes of Wrestling or something. You don't want to see it.
Wait, is there a place called Beefcakes of Wrestling?
I got to write
that down. James needs to see that.
Probably. He knows. He knows it exists. Get out of here.
Yeah, it's okay. So does
so
he.
Creepy. Oh, yeah.
It was my so father. Weird. My dad informed me of it. All right.
Your dad did?
It was shortly after I started wrestling. He Googled me and he's like, Joe, you're on this website. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's really gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
I mean,
hey, you know, you can't
some things
always
can be taken. Pro wrestling can be taken out of context every
that's
now
true.
And again.
And you can't always choose your audience, man. You just got to be happy you have one sometimes.
That's it, man.
Idris, you said you worked up in Canada training, and then Joe, you said you worked in OVW.
Yes.
Who are some of the names that you see on TV now that you're like, I was in the ring with that guy?
I mean, like I went to a lot of shows with Ruby Riott back in the day.
That's
like,
awesome.
She's a good friend and things like that. And like everyone came through OVW. So you had Brock Lesnar, you had John Cena, you had Joe Coleman, Batista, Randy Orton. All the big stars got their start there at
That's
OVW.
Right. I'm glad you included your own name in that. That was like,
it's true. It's true.
Absolutely.
You know, different then, times, but you know, it still stands.
Yeah.
Like while I was there, Drake Maverick was there as well, as Rockstar Spud was what he was wrestling under. So yeah, definitely a lot of people have passed through there.
That's awesome. What about you, Idris? Anybody that you're like, oh, yeah, I was in the ring with that guy. I trained with that guy. He freaking picked me up and put me down.
or you picked him up and put him down.
Oh, yeah,
and there he is on TV, son of a bitch.
Well, in 2017, I was signed to Impact myself. So I mean,
awesome.
I guess Joe can say that about me now, too, right?
What do you mean?
You wrestled me.
Oh, you piece.
I'm one of those guys.
No, and that's one of the things that, like, one of the other local wrestlers, Johnny Bravo, has been working for Impact for the last year.
Yeah.
So he's a referee. And, like, the couple of the local shows I went to a couple years ago, he was the top heel out at was All-Star Pro Wrestling or something like that downriver. And I remember thinking, like, this guy is great. So then turning on Impact and looking in the – is that guy in the ref shirt? Is that Johnny Bravo? It is. I know that. Well, I kind of know that guy. I watched him wrestle here.
He actually had a hand in training me because I trained in his school.
He just beat Idris's ass every chance he got.
He's the one who made me bump until I bled.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. He strikes me as that kind of jerk.
What you see with Bravo is what you get.
Yeah. So you guys are mostly known as a tag team now, but you guys have wrestled each other before, right?
Yeah, threw a fireball in my face.
Singles action. I had no
idea. Are you bitter about that? It
burnt my face.
Dude, I'd be pissed if James threw a fireball at me.
Well, you couldn't throw a fireball at Idris. He's got all that hair.
That's what I tried to.
Yeah, no. Funny thing, you say that because that was the original spot. They were like, hey, Joe, throw this in Abe's face. I'm like, I'm not taking that. I will die.
Right.
All the product in my hair. Yeah, we'll just go. I don't think
I just wish he respected the business is what. I took a fireball to the face.
What'd you burn?
Top young. Hot baby face, and he couldn't let me get my retribution.
I made you look so good.
Oh, whatever. I always look good, Idris. Get out of here.
I think I may have started a new feud.
Don't break up Halal Beefcake, Joe!
I'm not trying to.
Don't you ruin it!
We're never going to break up, I promise, and this looks too expensive for me to put Idris through all this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All the equipment, I can't do it.
No. You did it, just make sure I died, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, if you put him through this table, you put us through the window, because I'm not going to I am not going to talk to our engineers.
Not at all.
Yeah, if somebody gets put through the table, it's going to be like a quadruple homicide. Right, so. Just kill us all.
Well, as we discussed on the show, wrestling in 2019, it's definitely a different landscape with All Elite Wrestling, and you've got New Japan Pro Wrestling. You've got all these different places where you can go. You guys are in the business. Where do you not so much where do you see yourself, but what is your goals in 2019 as wrestlers?
We just want to make a living off wrestling, so we don't have to go to our day jobs. It doesn't matter where we go. We want to go everywhere. You know, we want to travel. We want to make money. We just want to focus all our lives on wrestling. That's our dream, for sure.
Yeah, that would be great. And, I mean, personally, I really love what they're doing at NWA right now.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I love that style. So I'd love to see that really catch fire and just have all these different horses in the race where all these wrestlers can go and work. So, yeah, I'd love to, you know, try my hand in that or even at AEW, WWE, wherever. Wherever the chips fall,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or wherever those muscles take you.
Absolutely.
And that jacket, too.
Yeah, the jacket.
Absolutely, the jacket. Where can people find you guys online?
Twitter, Facebook. My Twitter handle is at Idris Abraham.
My Twitter and Instagram handle, both of them, is at Thunderlats.
Well done.
Lats, like,
that's why I couldn't get it.
That's why I got all these puns.
I tried for months to get that handle.
I'm sorry. But even when I was doing the singles wrestling thing, like this podcast Detroit, they had the actual voice actor who did Lion-O on Thundercats on there. And like, hey, can you record this one thing for us? And he recorded him going, Thunder, 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 Thunder Lats. Oh, so I put that before my entrance theme.
Hell yeah.
That's amazing.
It was so sweet.
what is the Hello Beefcake entrance theme?
Right now, we actually use...
We have two. Yeah, we have two.
Yeah, we use Electric Six Radio Gaga, and then we had this really awesome Japanese anime X-Men intro. Because
that is a great song.
Do you know it?
I do.
The Japanese one?
Yeah.
It's the second one.
Okay.
And we have, we found like an HD version of it, and that's what we've been using at Smash and everywhere else. So it's pumps us up.
Yeah. No, that's good.
And as sweet as, you know, the intro is in our Americanized animated X-Men cartoon in Japan, they were like, you know what? Let's kick it up a notch.
Yeah, we need to go even harder.
Oh, it's insane.
Do you guys got some matches coming up we can tell our listeners about?
Yeah, we have the London Music Hall on December 15th. We've got to defend the Tag Team Championships, the Smash Tag Team Championships against the Revolt. Man, might as well just give us a day off.
Bunch of pussies, I heard.
Absolutely.
Don't talk too much smack about them. They're next week's guests.
Surprise!
Hey, guys!
We got that coming up. We've got Clash Wrestling here on December 6th. Is that in Flat Rock?
Woodhaven.
Woodhaven. Yeah. Yeah, they're the same thing, kind of. In the area, down Riv. But yeah, we've got that going on. And then looks like we've got a busy new year with Glory Pro and things like that as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for coming in. Thanks for hanging out and talking some nerd stuff with us.
Oh, man. Thanks for having us.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, Nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, Thank nerds. You.
Hey, we're out.
Can you give us a real quick kind of thing we can put in front of a sweeper? So it's just like
you introduce yourself, like, hey, you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Yep.
Hey, this is the genetic jackpot, Joe Coleman, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
I think they were looking for something a little more tag team.
Well, that's what you can do. Interest.
Do a single one.
That's
two,
what you're supposed to. All right, all right.
Two.
Yeah, he's to also my about left. To bury me
to,
as well.
To my left, you're looking at the monarch of mass, the genetic jackpot, Joe Coleman.
And over to my right, even though it's the radio, you don't know where I'm sitting. You've got the hummus spread heartthrob, the quad of war, the sultan of shawarma, Idris Abraham.
And together, we are known as Halal Beefcake, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Oh, that's perfect.
That was amazing. Beautiful. Amazing. That was awesome.
I have to use Joe's, too, because at the very end, you're like, I think you wanted a tag team.
No, that is
that's so selfish.
That's what makes it the most perfect ID we've ever had, because yep. It's got to – the whole thing's got to be just as – I think they're looking for a tag team.
No, that's got to be part of it. It's got to –
sorry, Andrew. That was so good. Sorry, babe. I thought you were going to jump in after that.
Well,
I thought you were going to do it.
You finished it.
Yeah, you got to jump in. You got to finish.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was great. That was fun, man. Thank you guys so much.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.